There was a time when foods like brown rice, yogurt, whole grain bread, and of course granola were only found at natural food stores. Hippie foods, as our next guest would call them. But today they can be found at any big box grocery store right next to the Wonder Bread and Fruity Pebbles. And in his new book, Hippie Food, How Back to the Landers, Long Hairs, and Revolutionaries Changed the Way We Eat, Jonathan Kaufman tracks how the evolution from counterculture to mainstream for these foods. I spoke with him more about it via Skype and asked first exactly what he means when he says hippie food.
So for me, hippie food is the food that I grew up with. It includes things like, you know, tofu, brown rice, whole wheat bread, yogurt, sprouts, granola, all of those foods that became more mainstream in the 1970s. And then by the 1980s and 90s were seen as kind of heavy, dour, and often, you know, the things that I tried not to eat.
Right. So there's been a little bit of an evolution, like an up and down in this. Let's start with the 70s, like when you say you grew up in a small town and you were members of a local co-op. And at the time, that was pretty common, right?
So, yeah, I grew up in a family of, you know, politically liberal Mennonites in northern Indiana. And my parents were by no means hippie types. But, you know, belonging to a food co-op, sharing a communal garden, that was just part of what they were doing in the 1970s.
And then this sort of shifted, like you said, in the 80s and 90s. And it's become more mainstream, I would say, again today. Tell us a little bit about that evolution. How did it become more and more common, more accepted, like that, you know, whole grain wheat bread is everywhere, right?
Right. Well, I think what was really happening in the 1970s is you had these counterculture kids and then people like my parents who were really interested in changing the way they eat and changing the food system and you know, rejecting a lot of the industrialized food they'd grown up with. And so their first attempts, you know, this first hippie food that I wrote about in the 70s was very sort of hearty and off chewy and dark and not very skilled. And so I think as, you know, as that generation grew up and as, you know, new generations like me started cooking, we weren't interested in cooking that food the way it was presented in the 1970s. However, all of those ingredients like whole wheat bread, brown rice, you know, organic vegetables, things like yogurt, they became accepted as healthful food. And so that's why I think they stuck around in our diets. And as we grew to know the ingredients, and as sort of the variety of ingredients that you find in grocery stores is really expanded, I think our cooking became much better.
I want to talk about some of these anecdotes you have in the book about how this has shaped just the products that we have available to us today, like things like whole wheat bread we mentioned, or even like rice cakes. Give us a couple of examples like that.
So rice cakes, I mean, the discovery that rice cakes came out of this movement was one of the first great surprises. That was the first chapter I worked on, where rice cakes actually came to America through the macrobiotic movement, which was actually a pre-hippie movement that started in the 1960s and was popularized by a man named George Osawa, who came and started talking to Americans about how the American diet was causing heart disease and obesity and diabetes. And so his solution was to adopt this very traditional Japanese peasant diet that was really focused on brown rice. And he had some very kooky ideas about, you know, what you should be eating. But out of that came, you know, these rice cakes, which were a huge hit far beyond the macrobiotic community.
Yeah. Okay, so I want to talk about what this looks like today then. What I wonder as you talk about these hippie foods and the way that this was tied to natural food movements and diets like the macrobiotic diet, et cetera, like, is this today actually healthier or is this just sort of a new way to market foods? Like, you hear a lot about how natural labels on foods don't really mean anything and things like that.
Yeah. Well, personally, you know, when I started the research, I kind of looked at, you know, hippie food as this kind of, oh gosh, this food that really wasn't that great, or I didn't have necessarily the best memories of.
Yeah.
But what I came to understand as I was researching it was that it was a real attempt to create a healthful, everyday cuisine that like looked at the impact of our diets on the environment and looked at other ways of sort of getting beyond industrial foods and how those really could affect the body in negative ways. Mm-hmm. So I do think that the food that was coming out of the 1970s, and especially as it has evolved and gotten tastier, is the kind of food that I cook for myself. You know, whole grains, lots of vegetables and fruits, reducing processed foods, reducing sugar and meat. I think those are all good guidelines for us today.
Yeah, yeah. Is this something that is only for wealthy people, or is this something that you think has taken hold across socioeconomic divides in this country?
I think that, you know, in the 1970s, the motto for many of the food co-ops and other small businesses working in this movement was food for people, not for profit. So they were really focused on trying to make food accessible for everybody, you know, people at all economic levels. But unfortunately, I think a lot of the movement was based on, you know, it was a lot easier to rent cheap, you know, buildings and buy land for cheap. And so it was, and volunteer your time. So I think it kept those prices down. I think as the movement moved into the 1980s, grocery stores like Whole Foods turned all of these natural foods into a gourmet product, you know, aimed at the upper middle class. And I think that unfortunately has skewed people's ideas of what these foods are.
So, as you look at this, then, do you think that over the last several decades, as these things have become more mainstream and now are just a part of our lexicon, like, has this actually resulted in Americans becoming healthier?
No, and maybe. Unfortunately, all of the main goals of this movement, when, you know, getting people to eat more vegetarian food and avoid meat, getting them to eat, you know, non-processed food, doing it yourself, all of those pathways never sort of took hold in the mainstream, but it did introduce a valid alternative. And I think that when you go into every grocery store, if you are somebody who is really committed to eating this way, you can find all of these products and you can change your diet much more easily than you could in 1970 when it was all sort of freaky fringe food that you couldn't even find, you know, in a health food store.
Yeah. All right. That's Jonathan Kaufman. He is the author of the new book, Hippie Food: How Back to the Landers, Longhairs, and Revolutionaries Changed the Way We Eat. Jonathan, thank you so much for coming on to talk about this.
Thanks for having me on the show.